The second book in the Bible is Exodus, meaning going out or the way out. Last week, the principle we focused on was God's absolute power and authority. Well, nothing has changed. He is that and more. One of the things I love about the Bible is that it does an excellent job of constantly and consistently reminding us and adding to our understanding of who God is. His greatness cannot be measured. The principle we will explore today is God is always delivering. He didn't just deliver the children of Israel from a location in a system of false worship. He delivered them from mental, physical, and spiritual bondage. Now remember that a principle is a fundamental truth, and that truth is the foundation that governs our lives. So let's explore this principle further. In Exodus 3:7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 8, and I have come down to save them out of the hands of the Egyptians. And the Lord makes them, the children of Israel, a promise in verse 12, I will certainly be with thee. Even when he lived in Egypt, Moses knew that the children of Israel had largely forgotten God. It's been 40 years since he left the land of his birth. What mental and spiritual condition would they be in? Moses needed some assurance, so he wasn't just asking on behalf of Israel, but for himself as well, because he would not be returning as a general leading a vast army, but a humble shepherd with a staff in hand against one of the most powerful nations and kings at that time. So Moses says unto the Lord in Exodus 3:13, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? The Lord's reply was in Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. So what is in a name? As you know, in ancient times, a person's name meant more than it does now. A person's name spoke of their character or the character their parents wished for them to have. Moses wasn't asking God his name, but he wanted to tell the children of Israel, who is this God that has the power and authority to deliver them from the Egyptians? God's response is important, and it speaks to the heart of the principle we're focusing on today. I am means eternal presence. The past, the present, the future all belongs to him. He sees it with absolute clarity. His vision is not blurred or marred. He knows who we are, he knows where we are, and he remembers his purpose and plans for us. David says it in Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou know it altogether. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the dark hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reign. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now I'm going to stop at verse 13. I know you get the point. I mean, if you were in bondage, slavery, mental and physical, and your parents were in slavery, And yes, you prayed to be delivered, but after so many years, you've given up. And someone comes along and says, God is going to deliver you. He has come to make you free. You too may question, what is his name? In other words, who is he? God expected this because the children of Israel had been assimilated into the Egyptian culture and had in a large degree forgotten the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here God is introducing himself. He continues to do that throughout their wilderness experience. Let's explore the word deliverance for a moment. In Exodus 6, verse 6 through 8, we find the Lord making the following promise. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear it to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. The word deliverance and salvation are closely linked in the scriptures. Salvation means to rescue or to cause someone to be rescued. To be delivered is to be rescued and saved from something or someone. It is important to remember that deliverance and salvation comes from without. It's not something we can do for ourselves. We must ask for it and trust that that is what God is doing. As people with dyslexia growing up, I'm sure we wish to be delivered and rescued from many things. The unkindness of others, the shame of not being able to read. We wanted to be rescued from not measuring up or not feeling accepted. We are introduced to the plan of salvation in Genesis 3. And the rest of the Bible is the unfolding of God's deliverance. You know, our symbol for deliverance is the cross. There, Jesus, Yeshua, which means salvation, promises us deliverance from sin to give us an abundant life through grace. God is always delivering, always rescuing, and this is always true. The same God in Genesis, that same spoken word that created the world and all that's in it. It's the same God and the same power that delivers us from the impact of dyslexia and what it has had on us. But we must ask for deliverance, to be saved, to be rescued. Then we must trust that that is what he is doing. Sometimes he delivers all at once, but at other times it comes in stages with the intent of a complete deliverance. But we must acknowledge our helplessness and our weakness and our need of God. Paul says in Hebrews 4 that we are encouraged to go to the throne of grace and ask for help in our hour of need. And because we are always, at all times, in need of God, we are assured of his deliverance. You know, I don't think dyslexia is something to be delivered from or rescued from. I think our response to dyslexia is where we need God to speak his word and stand up and fight for us. Because I am equally convinced that God allowed us to have dyslexia. Therefore, he has promised and plan to use it for his glory. Deliverance. God is always delivering. Let's pray that we are constantly letting God deliver us from anything that stands in his way of using us for his glory.